Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Joe and Joe Weather Show on this Thursday, the 23rd of September, 2021. I learned today that we don't get flash floods once the summer is over, apparently. But we'll discuss all of that. The Joe and Joe Weather Show brought to you by Omni True Value Hardware at 1226 North Wellwood Avenue in West Babylon, New York, where they're loading up the salt for the upcoming winter. When the snow comes, also Pelado and Mag Ice Pellets and Flakes, and anything else you need with regards to getting you through the fall or the winter. And the telephone number is 631-756-1125, 1226 North Wellwood Avenue in West Babylon, and the best prices in town because there is a salt shortage and salt prices are going up. So just bear that in mind. So give them a call or go to the website, omnitruevalue.com. Also brought to you by Wholesale Holiday Lighting by Giannini, your complete holiday lighting specialist, meeting all your decorating needs. And we have an upcoming open house free event for contractors and those interested in getting into this business on Tuesday, October the 5th, from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. They are at 162 Ocean Avenue in Lindenhurst. The open house is right next door at 164 Ocean Avenue in Lindenhurst. And you can RSVP by going to the website, liholidaylighting.com, or giving them a call at 631-957-5106. And you can take a look at just some of the things that they have to make your yard look like the best decorated yard on the block. We're down to double digits now as far as how many days until Christmas. LIHolidayLighting.com, the website. So I'll put this over here. And where's our little... Where are we? We're here somewhere. No? Where'd we go? Yes. And a double hoe. There we are. We've got heavy rains. Apparently, there are political gas bags running around today, claiming that it's never rained heavily once the summer is over. This is all climate change induced. So we'll just let that statement stand on its own.
Who said that? Where did that come from? That statement.
Tom Contino. Apparently, it's Tom. Can you verify which mayor this was? I'm assuming it could be the mayor of the People's Republic of the city of New York, but maybe it isn't. But I'm sure he'll respond here shortly. Robert Fuller, an early super chat hit. David Fuller, an early super chat hit. Robert Russo, an early super chat hit. So Joe and I appreciate it. By the way, if you were on the chat board earlier, you might have gone and seen it. But for Patreon members, there is a Weather in 10 video, which is all about Tropical Storm Sam, which by Saturday probably will be Major Hurricane Sam. So if you haven't looked at it yet, then wait for the show is over and then go look at it. The link is up on the chat board for any of you that are interested. It's on my subscription website that costs just $2 a month to join. So check it all out. Okay. Tom said he saw it on Channel 4 News, but what mayor? Was it the mayor of New York City? That's my question. So I'm waiting to see what his answer is. Anyway, we've got this stick, not a very wide stick, but a very slow-moving stick of heavy rain and thunderstorms. So a bunch of counties in Pennsylvania. And over in New Jersey, it was not the mayor. It was a councilwoman from City District 4, wherever that is. Well, get used to it, folks, because every time it drizzles now, it's going to be climate change. We'll say
absolutely.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, all the politicians are talking about climate change now, whether we need to hear about it or not. And as I mentioned a few days ago, there was one local TV weather forecaster who a while back when we had that winter with hardly any snow, he said, well, of course, it's climate change, global warming. That's why you're not seeing the snow this year. That's not why you're, that's why you're not saying. And meanwhile, last winter, I mean, we had a hellacious 6 weeks starting on the 1st of February, not just us, but the folks in Texas, for example, the frigid sub-freezing temperatures, the ice, people losing their power or whatever like that. And the same one, the same person who only a year ago said, well, of course, it's climate change, said, you know, a year later, well, of course, it's all due to climate change. You can't have it both ways.
No, you can't.
You know, it's amazing.
I've said this a million times. Everybody is. You can't look at one event. You cannot look at one event and point to it and say, that's climate change. Okay. You can't do that. It's weather. Okay. And that's what weather is. It's one event. Now, if you look at data over 30, 40 years, and you see a pattern of certain things happening that is different from what it was, that is a climatologist's job to figure that out. But you know what? It gets an audience. It makes the television station money. And, you know, we've been down this road before. We'll wait till we get Bill Corbell on here, maybe one day next week, if you can let him know to pick whatever day is convenient for him. Meanwhile, before we start the show tonight, I want to ask you a question. So are you dealing with are you dealing with the usual acorns, you know, coming down from the oak trees this time of year?
You know who takes a good hard look at that? It is Renata. She would be more inclined to tell you one way. Like, I didn't see very much in the way of, we have a tree that, a walnut tree. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some years we have a lot, and these things are like bigger than golf balls.
All right, because that's,
see the entire,
that's what I, this is what I have. Okay, they're the size of golf balls, but they're not walnuts. I when you crack these open, there's another shell. So then you have to crack that shell. And they look like hazelnuts, but I wasn't going to take a chance of taking a bite in case they were poisonous hazelnuts. But these things, you know, I have very tall trees here around my house. So when these things come down, you know, they're accelerating with gravity and then they hit my metal.
Exactly.
I have a metal roof. So, I mean, it sounds like, you know, it sounds like baseballs are bouncing off my house. Thankfully, I'm a deep sleeper, so they don't wake me up in the night. But this is what I have to contend with. So for those of you complaining about acorns, you know, when you get them like this and then you're outside and one of them falls, it hits you in the head. It hoits.
One year I actually wore a biker's helmet because the acorns were so, or was maybe it was the walnuts. I don't remember. They were coming down and I got hit a couple of times and I said, man, this is, so I had to wear the helmet as I'm going around on the tractor mower. So I don't know. Renata, I know she's on the chat board. If she wants to give her assessment.
Yeah,
about
she
everything,
is.
She
says,
you know, everything that's going on.
She gathers them and pitches them back into the woods.
Yeah, she says the walnuts are quite large. I had to pick up dozens already and pitch them into the woods. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Jan, USA, Florida. Welcome to the chat board, Jan. She said they're called hickory nuts, what I have. Okay. And I have, and they're also called pig nuts or mock nuts. it's good to know. That's good to know. Thank you.
I've never heard of them.
Pigs will eat them and squirrels, but not good for people. I didn't think so. My dog grabs a hold of them and he tries to break through the shell. You know, it's better that I got to make sure I take him away from him because I don't want, you know, sometimes some of this stuff can be not good for your doggy. So what do you want to do first? You want to talk about what's going on now? You want to talk about Tropical Storm Sam?
Well, I think maybe we ought to talk about what's going on now because there are some places that in the last couple of hours have seen rain come down at the rate of 2 to 3 inches in 1 hour.
All right. So let's.
That stick that you refer to has embedded within it. It's interesting. The stick is crawling along slowly but surely from west to east, but the actual cells of heavy precipitation are racing from south to north along the stick.
Yes.
Yeah.
And. If you know, this morning, it took all day for them to go, I think it's probably shifting eastward at about 10 miles an hour, because this thing's really just been creeping along. The there looks like there's a pretty good squall line there from coastal Ocean County to Monmouth County. There's a flash flood warning up for the northeastern counties of New Jersey, except I think for northeastern Bergen County. And then that line kind of swiggles up along and west of the Hudson, Mr. Rayo, goes all the way up I-87 there. So some pretty hefty downpours in that mess.
We haven't seen anything here. I mean, we've had maybe about a tenth of an inch of rain, and we did have some rain this afternoon. But I'm assuming that we're going to have to wait until probably closer to like 10 or 11 o'clock before we get that zone just to our west in and over us. And that's probably when we're going to pick up the lion's share of rain for the overnight hours, probably on the order of an inch or two. But places west of here have already gotten pounded with quite a bit of rainfall. And again, everything is moving. Well, it's moving about as quickly as ketchup coming out of a Heinz ketchup bottle. Very, very slowly. Anticipation, Joe.
Yes.
Anticipation.
So I think Chuck Cardillo, Mrs. Cardillo, sent some pictures here. I'll bring them up because I'm so busy this evening because of cutting that Weather in 10 video. When some of these big thunderstorms moved on through up in the Catskills. And yeah, definitely. Whoops, it went away. All right, let's see if I can get the rest of these. Hold on a second. Let's try it from here. One, you can see some of the rain-induced flooding. Come on. It's being evil, Joe.
Again, you just be like Elizabeth Taylor.
There
faster,
you go.
Faster.
Yes. rather big puddles of water up there, up in the Catskills, with that thunderstorm that moved through there earlier. And as I said, we had these flash flooding that we had in southeast from parts of southeast and eastern PA across northern New Jersey. I'm thinking, you know, the line was more impressive looking earlier when it was in western New Jersey. There were some really hefty looking cells in there. So I'm thinking, Joe, when it goes starts to go east of New York City, which it'll do so in the next couple of hours, we're going to be on the southern end of that. I think we're probably going to see there'll be some downpours and there'll probably be some rumbles of thunder during the overnight over Long Island and southern New England. And, you know, you'll get into a bit more of it, of course. But I'm thinking that probably we're going to probably wind up with less in the way of rain than what occurred earlier today further to the west.
Yeah. Yeah, because, again, maybe it also is diurnal. In other words, now we're into the this morning we actually had some good intervals of sunshine. I said, oh boy, if this stays out for any long length of time, that'll only juice up everything for the afternoon hours. But now we're getting into the evening. The sun is already down. Things are cooling off. So probably we're not going to see anywhere near what, as you just mentioned, anywhere near what they saw just off to the west. But still a fairly good amount, I think, on the order of about an inch or two. We'll see how it all pans out later this evening.
Yeah, and then just go on the other side of western New Jersey. Once you go, say, from I-81 westward, it's all done. And by the way, if you notice, there ain't a thing going on the radar across the deep south. Nothing. And my low this morning, Joe, was 47. The high today, 65. Blue sky and sunshine all day long. Now we had the poll up last night. And the poll question was, who would get to 41st for a low? Would it be me or would it be Joe Rayo? And 2/3 of you said it would be Joe Rayo. Well, the forecast low for here in North Georgia for tomorrow morning is 42. So it won't take but a 2-degree bust to get that down to 40. So I will report and take a picture. And by the way, we do have a poll for tonight. Tropical Storm Sam will likely become a major hurricane. But how major is the question? Will it be a Category 3, a Category 4, or a Category 5? Well, so far, with 83 votes, we have 27% saying a Category 3, 52% are settling on a Cat 4, and not too unhealthy 22% there saying it'll make it up to a Cat 5. And you know what? Not impossible.
No, I think it'll be, I think it should get to a cat four. I think cat five might be pushing it a little bit, but I could very well see that will get up to a cat four for its peak. And it's out in an area and it's moving at a slow pace, a slow enough pace so that it can gather that energy. And as we've been pointing out the last few days, Joe, it's going to be in a region during the upcoming weekend, especially, of where it's very favorable for intensification. And I think we're going to see this thing really ramp up. 135, 140, maybe 145 would not at all take that off the table with Sam.
Not an ounce of shear, by the way. And that's I got the loop up, which is from what I saw this morning when it was right before they upgraded it to a tropical storm. I was like, whoa, that looks, you know, pretty impressive. And then I hadn't looked at it until about 4 o'clock this afternoon. And I looked at the loop. I was like, whoa, things got a core in there already. And if you look, that bright white ball of thunderstorms there, that is the developing core. So this thing is really intensifying very quickly. We'll come back to that in a moment, in a bit. Meantime, here's our mess in the east. You've got this big upper low spinning in the lakes and moving northward. So the cold front actually came through me before it came through you and still hasn't gone through you. But you can see that arm that goes from that upper low that swings around from southeastern Canada straight down New York State and western New England, right down through New Jersey and Long Island, and then goes south offshore the Carolinas. So that left the southern half of the U.S. in blue skies and beautiful sunshine all day today. It was an absolutely gorgeous autumn day. And you're going to get into some of that dry air at some point over the weekend and next week from what I was looking at on the models.
Yeah, I think it'll be a nice stretch of low dew point, dry and pleasant weather. There may be some cloudiness from time to time to deal with, but call it either sunny to partly cloudy or partly to mostly sunny. But I think we're going to have a nice stretch after we get through tonight and early tomorrow.
All right. So, you know, we're kind of at the point here with this particular weather system here in the east. Let me pull up a couple of local radars. So if you're watching, folks, on a replay, it's 7:51 Eastern time. Although it's moving so slowly, I would imagine if you looked at this 2 hours from now or 3 hours from now, you may not see a whole big difference. But look at the Upton radar. I mean, it really is now just a stick. There's not a whole lot going on the west side, nor is anything going on to the east side. The rain is just about to the Nassau-Queens line, still pretty quiet on Long Island. There were some scattered showers that came up from the south-southeast and moved north-northwest through the day today that a few people might have seen. But it was really all about waiting for this cold front and the quote-unquote stick that is swinging on through, the climate change-induced stick, by the way. Now, let's take a look. I'm going to switch over to the Albany radar. And Albany radar. Oops, wait, I put in the wrong three letters. You know, they used to be ALB. Now they changed that to ENX.
Yes.
Because the EN, it took me a while to figure out that EN meant Eastern New York. But anyhow, there's the look from the Albany radar. And as you said, Joe, these things are racing. Look how quickly the cells are moving from south to north. And yet you can see very little eastward progress of the overall line.
Right. So you don't want to be in the path of one of these south to north cells of heavy precipitation. Although it is moving fast enough so that if it does, you know, fall torrentially, you can be thankful that it probably will not do that. Unless perhaps you have a developing area of like training where the cells are, you know, stretched out and then you just remain in that for, you know, more than an hour or two. Then you may have a problem.
Right. By the way, the fact that I got the front through before you guys did is not anything unusual. It has to do with the orientation of the upper air, and the fact that we've got this upper low moving from south to north, so the bottom of the front actually runs out ahead of the northern part of the front. So that happens quite often, particularly in the wintertime. When you get these east-west fronts, it's a different story, or these northeast-southwest fronts. When you have a positively tilted upper trough, you're going to get it. You get it first in New York, and then I may get it here at the same time, or perhaps a little bit later. But there's nothing unusual here. Here's the look from Fort Dix radar. Now there are some showers on the back edge, just west of the New Jersey Pennsylvania state line. They're not like the ones that went through there earlier today. Those are still also moving from south to north. So we basically just have to get this front, and it's going to be moving very slowly across Long Island, because I think there's going to be some lingering showers tomorrow morning, maybe even back to as far west as New York City, before this thing finally just weakens enough that the showers just completely fall apart. And by the middle of the day tomorrow, just about all of the area should be rain-free with just leftover clouds.
Yeah, the back edge of the cloud cover, at least on some of the models I looked at, is very sharp. So we may go from cloudy to sunny within only about an hour in any one area. But again, it's going to take a while to move that line eastward. And it may very well be, Joe, that, while New York and points west enjoy a beautiful, gorgeous blue sky and sunny sky in the afternoon, that places further to the east across Connecticut and Long Island may have to wait the better part of the day before the clouds break and the clearing moves in and the sun comes out. So it'll be one of those days tomorrow.
Right. By the way, on the radar here, the bluish area is probably ground clutter, but the green that you see back in PA, the green and some of the yellow echoes, though those are showers that are moving up. And of course, you can see right along the coast that snaky line of heavy rain and embedded thunderstorms moving from south to north. And looks like New York City's getting hit with heavy rain at the moment. Barry Goldberg hitting Super Chat tonight. Thank you, Barry. Most appreciated as always. And he says, for the best meteorologist. Thank you. That's very kind. Thank you very much. We try our best. We try our best every night.
Or as Popeye used to say on some of those old-time cartoons, we aims to please.
Yes, we aims to please. WPC, now this... Just about all of this is what's going on right now. So this is in some of the western edge of this is just on top of whatever's already fallen. But it's for the most part, this whole precip that it's showing is all reflecting what's going on now, because we're really not going to see very much, if anything at all, once this thing is done for the weekend and probably through most of, if not all of, next week. Notice down here in the south, the large patches where they won't see any rain for 7 days. So I'll be liking that. And then we've got precip with some Gulf moisture picking up in the coastal bend of Texas, where we've seen that a lot this summer. That seems to be continuing here into the fall and also spreading up into the southern and central plains. But nothing overly crazy. Some precip around the Great Lakes and some heavier rains coming in to the Pacific Northwest. The Storm Prediction Center has a leftover marginal risk of severe weather that they've kind of adjusted a little bit for New Jersey. They've now moved it east to cover Long Island, Connecticut, and the western half of Massachusetts, as well as the Hudson Valley going all the way up to just north of I-90 and as west as maybe I-81. And that is also reflecting a 2% tornado risk, although I saw a couple of severe thunderstorm warnings this afternoon and into this evening, but I didn't see any tornado warnings.
No, we were only, as you just have on the screen there, 2%. So it was not one of those extreme cases that we've seen a couple of times this summer of 5%. And I think I saw something in the technical discussion that said that while they would, mention the possibility of tornadoes, they felt that the severe weather threat was more in the way of heavy downpours and torrential rains, as opposed to, let's say, hail or the possibility of, damaging winds or in this case, tornadoes too.
Yep.
All right. We certainly have seen that in some cases.
All right, let's go to let's take a look at Sam, and you know, you're seeing that feathering again. This thing is really, I'm really astounded at how quickly you know you have a potential powerhouse here when you, with these systems, when they organize the way they did. We saw it with Ida, and you're seeing it again here. The formation of the core this quickly is telling you that the atmosphere is absolutely ripe. And it's going to strengthen, probably might be a hurricane by tomorrow morning, or maybe by midday tomorrow. And the Hurricane Center's forecasting it to reach major hurricane status by early Saturday. And they even said in their latest forecast, Joe, where they're going, taking it to 125 knots on the latest forecast, that, you know, there were some of the intensity models were actually higher than that, which is, you know, maybe there's your Cat 5 if it gets there. And we've seen Cat 5s out there from time to time. So, again, not impossible. And the advisory at 5 o'clock, of course, we're only getting six-hour plots now. So the next one's at 11. We have it at 11.1 north, 39.7 west. So that's about 22. It's about 1,300 miles or so east of the northern Leeward Islands, maybe a little bit more than that. Top winds are now 60 miles an hour, moving west at 16. And you'll notice that it's not going to be moving very fast here. We're at the time of year where that push out there is weakening. Those easterlies are weakening. So by 2 p.m. Tuesday, it's still only at about 55 west, and you can see it goes from an S to an H by 2 p.m. Friday, to an M by 2 p.m. Saturday, M being major hurricane, and then they have it as a major hurricane, you know, for the rest of the five-day forecast period. So got a long, long way to go with this, and I have to tell you, Joe, with, you know, looking at a lot of the stuff that's going on in the upper air across North America, the North Atlantic, and out in the Pacific, if we were in a regular west to east pattern, I probably wouldn't be too, I don't even want to use the word concern, is too strong. Maybe what I should use the word is intrigued. I wouldn't be really intrigued by this if it were if we had this sort of a normal west to east pattern and we were going to stay with a normal west to east pattern. But and we're going to look at the teleconnections tonight and notice we're in a deeply negative PNA, Pacific North America Index, at the moment. But it's going to be spiking positive rapidly over the next several days. And then as we go into the first few days of October, most of the members here of the GFS ensemble model have the Pacific North America index as positive. And what that means is it's basically, you know, it's measuring pressure changes across North America. And when it's positive, you usually have troughing in the east and ridging in the west. And when it's negative, you have the opposite. What it doesn't tell you, and that's the more important question, the answer you need to know, is where in the east is the trough? Where in the west is the ridge? And that is the most important factor. And while that's all going on, Joe, take a look at the NAO, which is crashing two to three standard deviations negative over the next several days and going into the beginning of the month of October. This is what has me intrigued. Because this smells of cutoff lows, and where those cutoff lows are, I couldn't begin to tell you. But if they wind up in the wrong place, it could be a problem for somebody somewhere. So I'm intrigued.
You know, I'm intrigued by the fact that we have two very different upper level patterns coming our way in the next week to 10 days as forecast by the GFS and the European. Now, the GFS is interesting because as Sam continues on a west and then west-northwest trajectory, it begins to lift up. It looks like it's going to be passing just to the north of Puerto Rico. Actually, not just to the north. It looks like it's going to be veering away from Puerto Rico. Now, at the same time, Now, we're talking now a full week from now. And when you talk a full week from now, as I've said time and time again, it's not going to happen. I mean, we've been talking about the variations here of the upper level winds and the patterns. And once you get past 5 days, you know, you look at something that's, say, 8 or 9 or 10 days down the road, you know, it simply is not going to happen. That whatever you're seeing, either the system that you're keeping an eye on is either going to go well to the west or well to the east, but it's simply not going to verify. Very few times do you see anything verify precisely, you know, 9 or 10 days out. But out of curiosity's sake, if you take a look, this system is going to take a turn away to the north and then to the north east of Puerto Rico. And then there's a shortwave trough that looks like it's almost like going negative, pivoting down. And this system, Sam, gets involved with that. But instead of being sent away to the north and northeast, away from the Atlantic seaboard, that trough, that upper level trough, catches Sam and almost flings it in the general direction of the maritime province of Nova Scotia. And in fact, if you want to look, if you go,
I have it on the screen for you, by the way. I have it on the screen for you, by the way. And this is the 18Z map, which was even more bizarre, because not only does it drop this trough just offshore, and then, as you said, it goes north of Puerto Rico by a fair distance, and a cutoff forms east of North Carolina. And like Flopsy the cat, I fling, huh? There it goes, into Nova Scotia. But look at what's behind it. See, this has got me. How many times have we seen a cutoff with another cutoff dropping down in the Ohio Valley behind it? It looks weird to me that you'd have something so quickly behind it dropping down. And the upper low that's offshore is kind of moving northwestward, pivoting around the upper low that's to the west.
This 18Z, if you were to take it at face value and say, if you're looking at this and you say to yourself, oh my God, all the people in Halifax and Yarmouth and the places in Nova Scotia, you got a problem. You got Sam coming your way. And even perhaps moving through the Avalon district, the Cape Race area of Newfoundland, they just had a storm there about a couple of weeks ago. And you say, so this wasn't expected. I mean, this looked like this thing was going to take a track away from the Atlantic seaboard. It would not have any say in the weather in the Atlantic. Now, that's the GFS. That's the 18Z GFS.
Well, I have the European up now.
Now, the European gives you a totally different viewpoint. First of all, the 18Z GFS has the system approaching but passing well to the north and east of Puerto Rico. Not so with the European. The European has the storm literally sideswiping or skimming the north coast of Puerto Rico when we get on into Friday, the 1st of October. Then we have the storm continuing to move on a track toward, let me just see here. Oh, that's as far out as I can go. It's as far out as I can take it.
Right. Well, I have it on the screen. I have it on the screen for you.
But Joe, where is the cutoff? Where is the cutoff? There's no cutoff.
No, yes, there is.
Significance, at least.
No, but I mean, the bottom of that trough separates and drops down on this run. It's in South Carolina. It drops down to South Carolina, and then it moves to New Orleans. So now it picks it up. And you're left with this. We are, you know, here's your upper low, and you know, here's Sam, not too far off the North Carolina coast. To the east of Sam, you have a rather strong upper high that is built, and then meanwhile, you've got the westerlies running across New England. I looked at both of these, and they both don't make sense to me. So I think, as I did my video for my Patreon members, I just said, expect to see, if you're a model watcher, if you're looking at these models, expect to see something different in every run, at least into the middle part of next week. So,
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Here it is. It's 12Z Sunday, October 3rd, 240-hour forecast. Okay, right. All right, 240 hours. But if there is such a cutoff that is being depicted on the European, instead of being centered down, let's say, near New Orleans, how about just pushing it to the west, maybe about, 100, 150 miles? And then that ridge of high pressure that's off just to the east of Sam, flexes its muscles a little bit and builds up a little bit more. So all of a sudden, you have a corridor now for Sam to travel. He can't go too far to the west because of the cutoff. He can't go too far to the east because of the ridge. So where is Sam going to go? The only place he could squirt in that scenario would be almost due north, which would be up toward you know where.
Well, and look at the. I just brought the 0Z run from last night, where the cutoff low was centered near Nashville, and you had the upper high over Bermuda and an alleyway right in between. And in fact, while that's going on, a ridge is building up in northern New England into southeastern Canada. So, yeah, I mean, if this 0Z run, if you get a look like this, this is a really – I saw this morning, and I was like, whoa. Now, I know it's 240 hours, and I know it's 10 days from now, but it's got Sam in the Bahamas, in the eastern Bahamas. It actually moves it over the northern Leeward Islands. Makes a fairly close pass to Puerto Rico, although the core stays offshore. But it's still moving west-northwestward to northwestward because of the upper high that's suddenly building over Bermuda. And then you got this cutoff low that's in the Tennessee Valley here. I mean, I can't – the 12Z run, dragging an upper low down the coast, down the East Coast, across South Carolina and Georgia, and eventually finding its way to New Orleans, I don't know. That makes no sense to me. I don't recall ever seeing something like that. Maybe it's happened once. I just don't recall ever seeing an upper low cutting off like that and dropping south-southwestward and going into the central Gulf states, particularly right along the immediate Gulf Coast. So, and if you think back, by the way, the GFS was kind of doing that a couple of days ago, and even up until I think yesterday or during the overnight run, where it was trying to drop the cutoff down into Florida and into the northeastern Gulf of Mexico and making another low and a tropical look like another tropical storm developing and taking it into Miami. I think the 0Z run did something like that. So my point in all of this is the fact that because you have this NAO going negative the way it is, and the PNA going positive, it's going to make for, and the fact that we're talking about two or even three standard deviations above the below the mean or above the mean, depending on which index you're looking at, whenever we have that, it makes the models even more unstable in the long range than they otherwise would be. And again, expect to see, when the 0Z comes out, I'd be shocked if it, if it wasn't different, I would be shocked.
Holy Corleone's force back, man.
Yes, exactly. But you get the idea,
Ross.
It's really got me intrigued as to how this is all going to play.
Ross Niederman, I don't believe I've ever seen that name on the chat board.
Maybe no, he's new. I haven't.
If you are, welcome to Joe and Joe. He says it's a small system, but a Cat 4 by that point. And, one system that, and now I'm going really dating myself, 19, I think it was 75, Hurricane Gladys, which was basically, right around the same area where Sam is projected to be by the middle or latter part of next week. Gladys looked like a cotton ball with a little tiny pinhole in it, but it was like it was also like a Cat 4 storm. This, maybe this could turn out to be another Gladys, a very small, albeit very tight, albeit very potent hurricane. Will be out over the Atlantic Basin again by the latter part of next week. It's all something very interesting to watch. And again, as I said, when you start looking beyond 5 days, when you start looking at like the 7, 8, 9, 10 day progs, just remember in the back of your mind, what you're looking at is not going to verify. It is simply not going to be verified. It'll be something different. It'll either be something west or to the east or whatever. But the more that I see, the trend over the last few days has been, I think you'll agree, Joe, has been to push Sam, you know, slowly but surely, almost imperceptibly, but slowly but surely, closer to the Atlantic seaboard, as opposed to some of the models, you know, a few days ago that had it, you know, out to sea. And, you know, oh, well, it may affect Bermuda, but that's about as far.
Well,
now again, we're
even the GFS has gone from taking it to Iceland to now flinging it into Nova Scotia. So, you know, you know, when that happens, that, and you're still that far out in the long range, you know that it's going to change some more. And again, with all these cutoffs running around, it's also possible, too, that, you know, with all these cutoffs come running around, and if the cutoffs drop too far to the east, then, yeah, then it'll probably maybe wind up going to Bermuda and then going up and out. We, you know, that's still on the table also. We don't want to, you know, I don't want to leave anybody with the impression that we're saying that this is certitude here, because it's anything but. But, however, again, it's the dynamic nature of the overall pattern that tells us that and should tell you that this is, you know, got to pay attention to this. And by the way, when we look at the wind shear environment here across the tropical Atlantic, this is about as free of shear as it's been all season long. When you the loop starts out, you'll notice that it's just like white and blue, and that's wind upper air winds of basically 10 knots or less. When you're seeing what's around the developing hurricane, you start to see those strong winds. That's actually reflecting the hurricane itself in the atmosphere. But the shear is virtually non-existent for the next 5 days, which is why we're seeing, you know, we're going to see this thing strengthen. The water temperatures in the tropical Atlantic right now are at their seasonal peaks in the low and middle 80s. So certainly supportive for a major hurricane. The intensity guidance, the vast majority of the intensity guidance on the last run took us to make it at least a Category 3. We've got two of the models that make it up to a Category 4, and there's a few of them that we didn't see. The Hurricane Center mentioned in their discussion that are actually higher than their 125-knot forecast. So, you know, if you voted for the Category 5, it's certainly not out of the question. And with respect
to the table,
not off the table. And even Joe, the hurricane, I've been watching the hurricane tracking model guidance ever so slightly, but it was definitely clear, ever so slightly, kind of a slight shift to the southwest in the long range. In fact, there's a few of these models that have deviated a bit more than just slightly. So, good to pay attention to these going down the road and seeing where they take us. And by the way, I just want to really quickly check, because there is another system that is coming now off the African coast behind this one. So that don't be surprised if we take out Teresa before the month is out. And that would leave us with two names left on the list and 2 months to go in hurricane season. The Hurricane Center on their 8 o'clock outlook has a 30% chance of this new wave that's about to emerge off the African coast, but they do say it's conducive for gradual development over the next, you know, during the next 5 days. And we still have the remnants of Odette sitting up in the North Atlantic that's been kind of doing this clock, this counterclockwise loop. And they still thinking that there's about a 50% chance that this could re-strengthen into a tropical or subtropical storm, but they've followed the remnants of Odette all along, so it would just – Odette would come back from the grave. And that will be that. So
it's kind of like the Wicked Witch of the West. You know, Dorothy throws water on her and she melts. But then she comes back and Dorothy says, how is that possible? And the Wicked Witch says, I'm water soluble.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's too funny.
Odette can come back, too. Odette can come back, too.
Yes.
Whatever.
All right. Do you have a Brill or Jeopardy? Or do I had it last night?
Yes,
right? You have one?
I have one. This is relatively easy, I think, for you. Brill or Jeopardy is down in Wildwood. One more Brill or Jeopardy this week for Mr. Chiaffi. According to the top 5 manufacturers of cars, these are the, you know, Scott, I got to tell you something. You give me seven answers here, and Joe will have to choose the seven most popular colors. I'm wondering if this, if he means to have it, and I find this impossible, that these colors are in order of merit. But there's seven colors here, Joe, the seven most popular colors of cars as of 2020. Baseball rules apply. So what would color number one be on this list? I assume that he's saying that this is the most popular color.
Okay, so I'll say I didn't realize there were seven colors. By the way, before we get to that, Timmy Gross says, Sam won't get to New York City. As of now, all the Gefs ensemble members take Sam out to sea. All right, well, if you've got it all figured out, you know, who's better than you? But I would just leave the door slightly ajar. Just because the GFS ensembles don't show anything doesn't necessarily mean very much. But, you know, that's my
It may be too small.
They said that in their discussion. The small size is going to maybe, you know, wreak a little havoc with some of the models here. So
it literally is like it'll fall through the cracks. It may be a very potent system, but if it's so small, it's not like a Camille, let's say, what was the one? Last year, it was just about this time last year, we had a hurricane or a tropical storm that the Hurricane Center referred to as ginormous. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Which one was that? Were we at the Greek alphabet already by this time last year?
No.
Well, we were almost there.
Yeah.
I remember they said ginormous. Yeah, I don't remember which one was ginormous. I'll have to ask Bill Goodman. Maybe he remembers. Yeah.
But it's not like we're dealing with a ginormous system or a Camille, one that really is a potent and is very broad in scale. We're dealing with, in the coming next week or 10 days, we're going to be dealing with what looks to be a very strong, very potent, but very concentrated, very tightly wound little system, which may make the various consensus models, it may be very hard for them to pick up, especially long range. So that's what we'll be dealing with during next week.
Right.
So now back to the colors.
All right, wait, one more thing. So Mountain Biker 49 says, asked me, systems from Africa come across the Atlantic to impact us. Where do the storms go when they depart the East Coast of the U.S.? Do they redevelop and impact another country? Well, often, usually what happens is if they're moving northeastward and they move up into the North Atlantic, they usually become post-tropical or what we call extra-tropical. In other words, the storm loses tropical characteristics. It takes on the characteristics of a typical North Atlantic cyclone. And sometimes they move across the North Atlantic and they go into Europe. They go into the UK, up into Greenland. They occasionally make their way all the way up into the far northern latitudes north of Iceland. So that's usually what happens to them. They become non-tropical systems. Or they might. Sometimes what happens is that there might be a big non-tropical system already out there that's, you know, very a dominant feature in the atmosphere, and the tropical system winds up getting absorbed by that non-tropical system. So, anyway, just wanted to answer his question. Okay, the seven most popular colors?
According to the top five manufacturers of cars. These are the seven most popular colors of cars as of 2020. Baseball rules apply from one to seven, and at the top of the list, number one is what color?
Okay, so I'm thinking black and black or white is one or two. So I'll say, because the one thing that leans a lot of people away from a black car, particularly in the South, is the fact that in the summertime, if you've got black and a blazing sun, touching the steering wheel could give you a third degree burn. So I'll say white.
White it is.
Okay.
And how is that possible? How is that possible that white is the most popular color? I mean, white is so bland.
See, I wouldn't get a white. I wouldn't get a white car because the dirt shows up right away, and you'd have to wash it all the time. You know. So
The most popular flavor of ice cream, always in every poll,
is vanilla.
I guess for the same reason. And it's the same reason, I guess, for the car being white, being number one.
All right.
So number two is what?
I'll say. Oh God, I mean, I get it's either going to be black or maybe silver. So I'll say black.
Black it is, number two.
Okay.
Very good.
All right, now.
So the rest of the way. Number three.
Do I have to get number these in three. Order?
I guess it is. That's the way, unless you want to give a number to the remaining colors.
Okay, so
I'm assuming that number three is the third popular.
All right, so I'm going to say, there's red, blue, and silver. Now, this is really tough. I'll say silver.
Well, for number three, strike one.
I'm never going to get all seven in a row. What is the third one?
Number three is gray.
So you got the three. Hold on. Is silver listed there? Because that's kind of...
Yes.
It is listed.
Yes.
All right. So it's listed as a separate color. All right. I'll say... Now, do I keep saying silver until I get it right? I'll take a shot. How about blue?
No. Guess what, Joe? Number four was silver.
Silver. Okay. All right. So that leaves me with the next three. So I'll say two of those are red and blue.
You want to go in that order? Five and six?
I'll go in that order, red and blue.
Five is red and six is blue. So you got one left.
All right. So the seventh one now. Okay, I'm trying to visualize. I got six of them here.
But if you got seven colors in the rainbow, and if I told you that the name of the person that helps you remember the colors is Roy Biv, what's Roy's middle name, or what's Roy's middle initial?
G.
And what would that be? What color would that correspond to?
Green.
And there you go.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I rarely, there are two color cars that I rarely see. One is green and the other one is yellow.
Well, if it's yellow, it's got to be a cab, isn't it?
Yeah, no, but there was, that color actually got popular for a short time. Maybe 10 years or so ago. You know, people were buying cars that looked like school buses, the school bus color.
You're right about the green. The only green car that I could remember was a friend of mine, and this goes back to when I was a teenager. My friend Aldo Spadoni had a Capri, a green Capri.
Yeah, I couldn't do a green car.
And he loved racing it. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, my other good friend, who's now a PhD astronomer in Arizona, Glenn Schneider, he had a Maverick, and the Maverick was green as well. But Aldo's green was a darker shade of green, a sportier shade of green, and the Maverick was more of a lighter shade of green. But those are the only two green cars that jump out in my memory. So you're right. You don't see too often too many green cars out there.
Nope. All right. It's been a long week, so let's put this show to bed and remind everybody that Joe and I will be off the next couple of days, but I'll be doing my usual Weather in 5 videos, and I'll probably be doing a video update on my weather platform on Patreon for members only. The link is up on the chat board, is pinned to the top of the chat board. If you're interested in joining, it's just $2 a month. I do a lot of extra stuff there, I do all my website stuff there too, and you get it with it with minimal to no ads, depending on what it is. So anyway, I appreciate if you consider it, because that's how I make my living these days. We'll be back on Sunday at 11 o'clock Eastern time. Thank you, Robert Russo, David Fuller, and Barry Goldberg for the Super Chat hits tonight. We had a nice size audience for a Thursday. Welcome to all the new folks on the chat board. And if you're watching and you like the Joe and Joe Weather Show, subscribe to my YouTube channel so that you'll get a notification when the show comes on, because we're on 5 days a week on most weeks. And when the weather gets really busy, sometimes we go 7 days. We don't want to do that, but sometimes we do.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Joe, I'm getting a vibration. And I don't know why, but I'm getting a vibration that next week we may be one of those 7 day weeks. I don't know why.
No.
But maybe by this time next week we'll have a debate as to whether or not we need to go Friday and maybe Saturday.
Let's see if our instincts are correct. Maybe the next 2 days we'll absorb whatever the models are doing, and perhaps early next week we could have an indication of where this is all taking us, we could have a little confidence in anyway. Plus, we have to wait to see what Sam does in terms of development, so it'll be interesting to see how strong Sam gets over the weekend. But again, we'll be back Sunday morning at 11 a.m. So tune in, folks. Have a great night and a great weekend.
See you soon.